The Utah Jazz have evened the series in Houston. Quinn Snyder's game plan comes to fruition. Joe Ingles is brilliant, and the night closes with Harden versus Mitchell. Ron and I will talk about it all next, coming up on Postcast. Welcome, David Locke, along with Ron Boone, and believe it or not, we are tied at a game apiece after the Utah Jazz beat the Houston Rockets 116-108. Thanks very much for tuning in, Ron. Let's go big picture to start. Quinn Snyder took us through quite a practice today. I thought it was pretty special. It was kind of on a basketball high afterwards, just being there. He took them through a practice yesterday. What did Quinn Snyder do off of game one with some tape to watch, having the guys felt it, as he likes to say, to change this matchup of the series?
But I thought it started yesterday, just like you just said, then putting together a game plan in the way he thought, you know, could win the basketball game. Now, individually, obviously the focus was definitely going to be on Harden and Chris Paul and how you want to defend those guys individually, what you wanted to, what weakness, not a weakness, but the way you wanted to defend both of those guys, meaning James Harden. He thought that James Harden was not a very good passer going to his right, so they want to force him and over-exaggerate it to the point where they would not let him come back to his left. Now, it is awfully hard to get to the point where you can keep a guy like that from going to his left the entire ball game. But for the most part, they did do just that. I mean, kept Harden going to his right to the point where he had to pass the basketball on some occasions. Just the opposite with Chris Paul, and that forcing him to his left. Because he likes to go to his left and then come back to the middle of the floor and shoot a jump shot. So I thought those worked, slipping the screens early to and not letting the switching out there on the perimeter come together. The Jazz got a number of layups because of that, and they got the defense scrambling. Now, what that also does, David, is that that gives the Jazz a chance to shoot a great percentage, and they really did that tonight. I don't think they had one quarter where they just shot less than 50%.
By the way, I just want to tell you, we haven't seen them yet. I have over here to the left is my TNT monitor. They just showed the bench reaction on the Donovan Mitchell dunk and the Dante Exum dunk. It is like all-time greatest bench reactions. Derek Favors' reaction on the Dante Exum dunk is all-time. So make sure you go find that somewhere on the internet. There are a lot of heroes in this game, but I think Joe Ingles with a career high, a playoff career high of 27, he got the looks early, he knocked them down, and then maybe most of all, while the hurricane of the Rockets was trying to come back at the Jazz, without Ricky Rubio, he seemed to be a little bit of the settling force.
Joe had a wonderful night, you know, 7-for-9 from the three-point line, put 27 points, and he is a settling force. He's the one that has a little different pace and tempo than anyone else on the team, like a James Harden, like a Chris Paul. I mean, they're surveying, and they know where they want to get to, and for the most part know how they get it done. So he's the one that slows the team down sometimes in to make sure that they're doing the right things. But you mentioned some heroes. I mean, Dante.
Alec Burks.
I mean, just in the absence of you know, Rubio, guys, the next guy up, you know, end up having a pretty good night.
So Royce O'Neal and Dante Exum had the assignment on James Harden all night long. Quinn did some subtle things. They picked him up at 94 feet all night. May have tired him out late. They picked up Chris Paul at 94 feet all night. Just made them work. Just tired them out a little bit more. A lot of aspects there. But then late in the game, the clear game plan of the Houston Rockets was to switch and get Donovan Mitchell guarding James Harden. Two things were interesting to me. One, Quinn Snyder didn't have a problem with it. The whole entire second half, they switched. Donovan had three fouls start the second half. He finished the game with five fouls. They went at Donovan. I don't feel like it was particularly successful, them isolating Donovan Mitchell and trying to take advantage of it. And it jumps out to me a little bit that Quinn never tried to get out of it. He was like, okay, kid. Match up against the MVP and see what you got defensively.
You know, I didn't have a problem with it at all as well, and strictly because I think Donovan's a pretty good defensive player, and I think he learns very well on the fly on what to do and what not to do. But more importantly, the Houston Rockets were playing from behind, and so they were trying to make things happen. They end up playing a lot of one-on-one basketball, which for the most part they do very, very well. But, you know, when you're trying to catch up and you're trying to take advantage of a situation out there on the floor, sometimes that definitely becomes a problem. And they didn't make some big shots. They missed some threes. Great play out of a timeout there by D'Antoni with a back screen to get Chris Paul an open three-point shot. That didn't fall. So they missed some shots, but it wasn't like the Jazz didn't defend them.
The Rockets only shoot 37 threes. What? Only? Yeah. If you haven't been following the Rockets this year, they take 50% of their shots as threes, and they only took 37 of 95 tonight. What are the Jazz? This really is disrupting who they are and what they're doing. Yeah. What are the Jazz doing there?
Well, they wanted to the number one thing was to keep them from shooting a lot of threes. And so they were just overplaying and crowding. Just use James Harden as an example. Forced him to his right, but they wanted to be up on him so he could not take that step back dribble and shoot threes. They took away the corner threes for the most part. Tucker got a couple of good looks, but you know they didn't fall necessarily for him. Ariza, he didn't have, you know, those guys need to have pretty good nice shooting threes in order for the to take some pressure off of Chris Paul, I think, and James Harden. So they took away the threes by crowding the 3-point line. They were willing to give up twos. They put the Rockets on the free throw line quite a bit tonight. They took 27 free throws and made 22. So those ones and twos, the Jazz can live with, and they just figured that they can stay in the ballgame because of that.
What did the Jazz – Rudy Gobert scores 15 points on 7 shot attempts. He has 5 dunks. What did the Jazz do to get him open?
Well, and like I said earlier, I mean, just the fact that they slipped screens, Rudy was able to play closer to the basket. He was able to and Donovan Mitchell did a great job, so along with Joe Ingles, of getting the basketball at the right time. Rudy, I think, now is a happy camper because he was struggling getting points, and they were struggling getting the basketball in the paint. But the Jazz have found something. I'm sure D'Antoni's going to come back and try to counter that. And so we're going to be interested in practice to see what anticipation Quinn's going to have with, you know, what kind of adjustments D'Antoni's going to make.
8:30 Friday night will be game 3. The Jazz now have tied the series at 1 apiece. Last year, James Harden was brutally criticized for his play in the playoffs against San Antonio. Chris Paul has been brutally criticized in his career for never getting out of the second round. I don't think it happens yet, but at any point, do the scabs on those scars come off in this series?
You know, they had a great year. They're a fun team to watch. We don't know what it's going to be like when there's a ton of pressure on them. And I'm going to say no, it doesn't. I think they're good enough that they'll fight back, and hopefully the Jazz can definitely make this a series. I think the Jazz can beat this team. I really do. But they need to have the looks they have tonight. If they don't get the looks they have tonight, it's going to be a dogfight.
Game 3 in Salt Lake City. Tip of the hat to Alec Burks tonight. 22 points, 17 minutes, 17 points, 4 rebounds. Jay Crowder had 15 points and 10 rebounds. We haven't talked about him. And Dante Exum closing the game tonight, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a mammoth dunk. There was a triple X dunk to close the night. Those three guys were huge tonight.
No, those three guys were definitely huge, and this is a team that those guys can play well against because of their style of defense.
Jazz win it. Let me just share with you an Igor Kokoschkov story as I close today.
All right.
Igor says to me today at breakfast, I'm so lucky to have these breakfasts, I'm going to miss them so badly. He was named the head coach of the Phoenix Suns today, if you did not hear. He says, you know, David, the playoffs are like a turbulent plane flight. And your question is whether you have someone to land your plane. We might just have a kid who's being able to land our plane. We'll find out for how long he can land it. And let's find out who the Rockets have that can land their plane. That's what we did tonight, as we made it a series. Tied at 1. Coming home. See you Friday night. This has been Postcast on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.